beginning of verse 29, just a couple of verses, says, Simon says this as he takes the baby. And he says, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel." Jesus is the light of the world. In the Gospel of John, the Apostle John said this. He said, chapter 1, beginning verse 2, "He," meaning Jesus, "was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. And the world did not know him. He came to his own did not receive him." Jesus, the light of the world, the creator of the world, rejected by so many. The darkness did not comprehend the light of God. There's a couple of interesting verses in that passage. I just made reference to that one, that the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not comprehend it. A little later on, verse 10 and 11, I read that just a moment ago too, but John 1, verses 10 and 11, it says, "He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him." The world as a whole didn't perceive, didn't comprehend his own, meaning, as I understand that to be, the Jewish people did not receive him either. He came to the world, the light of the world, and many, many, many did not receive him. Does it ever make you wonder why? You ever think about that? I mean, it shouldn't be too hard because we've all been there, right? We've all done it. You know, we all walked for those years. You know, for some it was a lot of years, for some it wasn't as many, but it was a time in all of our lives when we were walking in darkness, when we were in that place. And why is that human? Why is there a human tendency to walk in darkness when light and life is being offered to us? I'm not saying there's a one-size-fits-all answer, but like I said, you know, at one point we all rejected the light of God, so we need to be very careful to never pass judgment on others. We just pray for others and try to let the light of Christ shine through our lives to others. Now, as Christians, we have a different perspective if you've come to know Jesus Christ. Sometimes you see people, in all seriousness, you know, you see people destroying their lives, and you just say, why? I had a couple of instances just over the last couple of days with people that I know. And, you know, why, when there's light and life being offered, are people refusing and rejecting what God is offering to them? And again, I understand not everybody sees it that way. You know, people don't see themselves as necessarily walking in darkness and turning away from God, as it were. But many do. And again, people don't see it that way often. But, you know, I tell you what, I've seen my share of stubborn people. They would rather spend the rest of their life hitting their head up against a brick wall than surrender their lives to God, right? We've all seen that. Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus spoke to them again, saying, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." And it says also in John chapter 12, "I have come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness." So God extends this gift to all mankind, and yet so many insist on walking in darkness. And why is that? Why do we do that? And Jesus spoke directly to that also in the Gospel of John, chapter 3, beginning in verse 18. Jesus said this, says, "He who believes in him is not condemned. But he who does not believe is condemned already," because, actually, these aren't the words of Jesus directly, it's the words of the Apostle John. It says, "He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And then he explains what he means by this being condemned, quote unquote. He said, this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. Jesus just kind of blows the lid off of it and explains why there is a propensity in human beings to walk in darkness. Because if we're practicing things that are not according to the will and purpose of God, we would rather do that, you know, in the darkness, as it were, and not have the light. As Jesus said, you know, when the light comes, the light exposes those things, right, in our lives. Men love darkness rather than light. Suppose, for instance, that you're sleeping. You're in your nice, comfy, warm bed. The door's closed. You're in the bedroom. The lights are off. It's pitch black. You're sound asleep, and someone opens the door, turns on the brightest light, and wakes you up. What's your first reaction? You know, I can pretty much say with a good degree of certainty that you're not going to be happy when that happens. Why not? Because you've gotten used to the dark. You've adjusted to the dark. Your body's kind of used to it, and the light is a foreign invader. It's all of a sudden, boom, you know, the light shines. Or consider this scenario. I've thought about this many times over the years. Suppose that you're using the cover of darkness to hide things that you don't want others to know about or to see. And, you know, your friend comes along and he comes in the room and he's got a million candle power light. And, hey, man, how you doing? I'm just here to say hi. And you're like, get out of here and take your light with you. Right? Because light exposes. Light exposes things in our heart that God wants to expose, but sometimes we want to keep them hidden. Again, John 3:19 that I just read a moment ago. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light lest his deeds should be exposed. You might be thinking, Pastor Tim, it's Christmas Eve, man. Come on. I just came to sing a couple of carols, you know. Go easy on this, will you? Herein lies the crux of the issue. People choose to shun the light of Jesus Christ because we don't want to feel the conviction and the accountability for our actions. And so, you know, we just want to live our life. You know, you don't bother me, I won't bother you. You know, somebody's in a burning house, you know, well, you don't bother me, I won't bother you. I mean, that's the way as a Christian we need to look at it. You know, we understand the implications of what Jesus has done for us and what it means to not receive him. So people, I think, would rather erase the lawgiver out of the equation. You know, we'll just get God out of the equation. That way we can circumvent his law and we don't have to give an account to him for our lives. And that's what I think Jesus was saying. He said, you know, if we're practicing things that are not according to the will of God, we want to do that in the dark. We don't want those things exposed to the light. So, you know, let's just get the lawgiver out of the way. God and his pesky light can get out, you know, just go away. In many, many circumstances, people choose not to acknowledge God and the light of Jesus Christ because in the end, we want to do what we want to do. And we don't want anyone, human or divine, calling our choices and our actions into question. So we just kind of say, you know, we'll eliminate the source of the problem. The source of the problem is the pesky light of God, like I said a moment ago. If we can just eliminate that and pretend it's not there or convince ourselves through some great philosophy of man that it's not there, it's not necessary, this is old-fashioned, this is all, you know, we live in an enlightened age and all this sort of stuff, we don't need that anymore. And we just kind of sweep it under the rug, then we don't have to go come face-to-face with claims of the gospel and the claims of Jesus Christ. And so in that sense, people prefer to walk in darkness rather than light. You can't hide things as easily in the light as you can in the darkness. And we have all kinds of fancy-sounding reasons or excuses or whatever. why we choose to not come to the light of Jesus Christ. And I think people, you know, I'm not saying people aren't sincere. I think they are sincere. But when push comes to shove, we often hide behind those excuses and we don't even really want to look any further. Because in the end, if there's a moral God who watches over the affairs of men, we would prefer not to confront that reality. And we would prefer to go along living our lives the way that we see fit and not to have to give an account to God. I was talking to someone, this is just a few days ago. You wouldn't have a clue who it was, or who it was I was talking to. It's nobody from the church, nobody would have it. Nobody would know. But I was talking to someone, and he said to me this. He said, "I believe in God my way." And so, you know, I can't let that lie, you know. It's just not in me to just let that statement lie. "I believe in God my way." So I said, "You need to believe in God his way," right? I didn't say you need to believe in God my way, right? I'm not going to get into an argument like that and get into this tug of war. No, my way, no. When he said, "I believe in God my way," I said, "You need to believe in him his way." And I didn't think of this right at the moment. It's, you know how those times, you know, afterwards you... I thought, you know, when you say, "I believe in God my way," who's really God in that equation, right? If we can create God in whatever image we want to create him in, then who's really God? You know, we're making ourselves God. And we say, well, you know, "I believe it in my way, and I do things my way," right? Frank Sinatra, we do it my way. I don't want to stand before the Lord someday and say, "I just want to rather do it my way." That all of a sudden sounds kind of hollow. Let me just speak for just a moment to those who are followers of Christ. And then I'll come back around and I'll wrap this up in just a second. Jesus said this in John, verses from John tonight. He said, "As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." What does that imply? He said also in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5, he said, "You are the light of the world. You are the city built on the hill." We know, of course, that Jesus himself is the light of the world. But he said, while I'm here physically, I'm the light of the world. But when I ascend up to my Father in heaven, and yes, I give you my Holy Spirit, and he lives and dwells in you if you receive me by faith and follow me, and that makes you now the light of the world. That makes me. Those of us that have Jesus Christ in our hearts, we now are the light of the world, as it says, you know, or as we say all the time, you know, you may be the only Bible that someone ever reads. We can be the light of the world to others. We have God's Spirit living in us. Jesus said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." People ultimately need to see what happens through and in and through our lives, but not to draw attention to ourselves, not to say, "Hey, look at what a great person I am." Hopefully, our actions would point people to God. People would say, "What a great God you serve," right? What a great God we serve. I heard a story, a lady was sharing a story a couple years ago. I heard this, and she had a little daughter, 4 or 5 years old, and she had quite a thing about flashlights. Just kids like toys, and they go through stages, and her stage at that point was she had quite a thing about flashlights. So they're in Walmart or something, and she sees a little flashlight. "Mommy, mommy, can I have the flashlight?" And so her mother buys it for her. They're in the checkout, and she lets her open it up and lets her play with it. I think I've shared this before. And as the mother's paying for the things she bought. And it wasn't working well because it was bright where they were, you know, in Walmart at the checkout. And she said, "Mommy, can I go to where it's dark, so I can use my flashlight in the dark," you know. And that's really, you know, a lesson for those of us that know the Lord. You know, it's not just about letting the light shine around other light. You know, it's letting the light shine in the darkness. and going to places where it's dark, or people who have, you know, are struggling and going through hard things in their lives, and sometimes it's not easy. But you know, we're to be like that little girl. You know, can I let my light shine somewhere where it's dark, where people really need that light? If you don't have the light of Christ in your life, if you have the light of Christ in your life, then others need to see it. And we should pray that what they see through our lives would draw them to the Savior. If we don't, if you don't have Christ in your life, Jesus says this. He says, while you have the light, believe in the light that you may become sons of light. You know, when the opportunity is put before you, you can't ever assume that you're just going to have opportunity after opportunity after opportunity after opportunity, right? It says in Hebrews, today is the day of salvation. So we need to, you know, consider seriously what the Lord is saying to us. And you know, so I just extend those thoughts to you tonight, where you're at, where all of us, we need to take a look at our lives and where we're at in our lives. And I would just close with these couple of verses. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, it says this, whose minds the God of this age, and that phrase, the God of this age, is a reference to the enemy, Satan. It says, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus our Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. There is an enemy that wants to keep the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ from your heart. And he'll do just about anything he can do, you know, to keep that light from shining in your heart. I started the service tonight with the verse from Isaiah 9:2. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. So I'm going to ask you to stand. I'm going to ask Jen to come up. And I'll just ask you, you know, before we close by singing Silent Night and before we close with our candlelight service, you know what, I will get the candles started here while I'm finishing up. So guys, why don't you come up? Could you? All right. Let me just close with just this prayer. I know we're multitasking here. We're gonna be okay for a second. We're gonna try to pass out, or you know, pass out. Well, not pass out the candles, but light the candles. But I also want to take a moment and pray with you. I'll wait till everybody's got their candle lit and before we turn the lights off. And I just want to pray with you. And I just want to encourage you. If you can say, you know, the light of Jesus Christ is not in my heart, I just hope and pray that you would be willing to open your heart to him. And I just want to pray with you right now. Father, I just ask that you would work in the hearts of each and every person here. Jesus, those of us that have come to know you, that have walked with you, who can attest to all the things that you have done in our lives, we just rejoice in the salvation that you have provided us through what you did on the cross. Well, we were sinners, God. Your word says that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And we thank you so much for that, God. I just pray that hearts would open to you. People would say yes to you, Lord Jesus, and let the light of that glory, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the risen Savior,